Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Rose Columbo. We had a little technical problem, but we're here, and we're here for you every Wednesday at noon to 1 p.m. with very special and prominent guests. And we are going to introduce you to our returning guest in just a moment, Joyce Alexander Black. And I'll tell you a little bit about her before we talk about the holiday season and the reason for the season.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, don't loosen up, because today we're going to talk about the Christmas season. What does the Christmas season mean to you, or whatever other holiday you celebrate? But people celebrate Christmas around the world, and they've done it long before America was even founded. They did it in Europe. They did it in Israel. They did it in other countries. So let's just talk about why it is such an important season for the entire world. And even on Christmas Eve day, even if they're fighting wars, the whole world stops fighting. And there's peace in the world on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, which is absolutely amazing. I wonder how many people think about that. Let me tell you about our very special returning guest, Joyce Alexander Black. And she is passionate about supporting you on your path towards living your best life. She holds a master's degree in clinical psychology. She's worked in Watson, Beverly Hills, as an intern, and currently works as an international empowerment coach, speaker, master practitioner, and hypnotherapist between London and Los Angeles. She's also worked doing stress management in television industry, Paramount Studios, Hollywood, California, Universal Studios in Studio City, California, NBC Burbank, Walt Studios, and so much more. So why don't we just get started with the reason for the season, and let's say hello to our very special guest, Joyce Alexander Black. Hi, Joyce. How are you today?
I'm great, Rose. How are you doing?
Well, I'm great because we had a little technical problem in the beginning, but guess what? It always works out somehow. So we won't say bah humbug to that.
Exactly. You know, the challenges of life, that's what we're living in.
Exactly. There's so many challenges today, more than I think I ever remember in my lifetime anyway. And it's an amazing time to be living. And so, Joyce, what do you think about people who say bah humbug to Christmas?
Well, you know, a lot of people are finding this time of year to be very stressful, and they just are saying they don't have the money for this or for that, and then they feel that the stress of the holidays, or they're just not connecting, or they're blaming God, or they're blaming whatever spiritual path they grew up in. And I think that there's something really important about this time, because yes, it would be ideal if we always were thinking of everybody. It's just not the reality. But what a special time to actually think about the people who are closest to you and people who are not. I just was doing a gift packaging for the homeless and some other shelters on Sunday. And it was such an inspiration, and you forget how wonderful it feels to give back. And even though you can write a check, you can do that, to actually, I mean, that's important too, to actually go and do something, maybe making sandwiches, maybe giving food, it will help bring your spirit up, and it definitely will help others. And I know that this is a tough time, and I know a lot of people are asking the question, what do I do? Because so many people, whether it's family, friends, or coworkers, have more money than I do right now. And they're embarrassed or they feel ashamed. And that seems to be a path of where a lot of people I hear are going. And what I want to say is it's so important to deal with your feelings. Feel them. Acknowledge them. And if somebody wants to be in judgment, think, if you were in that the other person's shoes, would you judge them? I doubt it. And it's more than that. It's like, how do you take yourself to a higher level? Maybe you can bake some cookies. Maybe go to the 99-cent store or somewhere else and get a gift. There's so many different options to do. There's also a lovely thing, which is gift certificates, offering to go over to someone's house and make him and his wife, or just a person, a single person, or maybe someone who has kids, babysitting. What a pleasure would that be? And there's so many gifts that we can give one another. Even your spouse can often can make a gift certificate. Next argument, you win. That's like a very, very big deal. So that's like worth so much more than money. I mean, there's so many things that we have that we can share, we can give to help people's lives. And sometimes it could be just, I will give you a day that I come over and say nothing and just listen. Imagine just some of the gifts. I mean, I bet you would love it if one of your close friends or family said, I'll just come over, or on the phone, whichever you prefer, and just listen and not even tell you about me. Just make the whole day about you. Wouldn't you like that, Rose?
Of course, and most people don't do that. I've never had anybody do that, actually, that I can think of.
I haven't either. What a great idea, right?
It's a great idea, because I'm always listening to everybody else.
How much would that be worth to you?
Yeah, exactly. It would be worth a lot, but then again, you know, we have to be careful who we're sharing our secrets with and who what we're talking about to certain people, because not everybody will keep between the two people. So that would be a real gift, to have a really nice close friend that you could share secrets with, and you know they would go nowhere. And because I do remember, like, a couple of neighbors, well, actually more than that, over the years, who came to me. We'd go bike riding or whatever, or go for a walk or whatever, because they wanted to talk. And they would share intimate secrets, you know, about their relationship with their husband, or, you know, and that's, you know, that they wouldn't share with anybody else. And of course it didn't go anywhere else, because I would never share anything like that with anybody else. But I mean, there's so many people like that who are living with who are married and are unhappy with the situation, but they have no one to talk to about it. and share that information. Who won't judge them? Isn't that important, not to judge the person?
Yes, and you bring up so many different things that I want to respond to, one of which is it's so important not to talk to just anyone. And if you're feeling really lonely or sad, there's Al-Anon meetings 24/7, or maybe not 24/7, but, you know, quite frequently. There's lots of different 12-step programs for people, and you pay what you can. There's so many different options these days. To also your good news. For example, I know you've written many books, and you're doing such an amazing thing. And there's some people, I find myself as well, who they are family or friends, and they say they're happy for you, but they're actually quite jealous, or they're negative, or they're not supportive. When that happens, it's really important to notice that and to say, okay, this is not a person who's going to encourage my success. And so many times I have found, unfortunately, people can be quite negative if they're jealous, or if they're just, it could also not be jealousy, it could be a loss of what they wanted. So many people want to write a book. So many people want to do a podcast, a radio show, TV, whatever they have in their dreams. And then they get to a point where they said, miss the boat. Not that they necessarily have, but what they wanted to accomplish, they didn't get anywhere near because they were so focused on, let's say, the clutter in their life. And not that I think every single human being has clutter that they need to work on. It's just the level to which they deal with it. And having people who are in your corner that you can actually tell that person something. So going back to the gift certificate, maybe that would only be for those specific people who you know are on your side and totally supportive. Other than that, maybe that would be a person who could say, I will come over and cook you my favorite recipe if you would like it, or I'll cook you something you would like. And what I found is really amazing is so many people have different recipes that they love that we never even talk about. And then all of a sudden it's like, you made what? My niece told me she made something with chicken and a pistachio crust. And I went, huh, pistachio crust, that probably would taste good. Never thought of that, you know. So we learn from others, even if we don't, you know, we can talk about things, not that we only should talk recipes or non-important things, but it's nice to, like, just talk about things, especially these days, that doesn't have to do with world crisis and problems and try to lift each other up. What do you think about that, Rose?
Well, I think you touched on a few things because, number one, I even saved it. A message, I read positive messages and stuff online. And the one that I saved says, declutter your life, which you brought up right now. And so it says, you've got it all together, even when you think you haven't. It's time to declutter your life of anything that's not a match to the new energies entering into your life and a boost of positive energy is pushing you forward. So in other words, all the clutter that's in our heads and all the clutter maybe that's in our homes, we don't really need, and yet we hang on to it, and some of it's negative and in the past, and there's nothing you can do with it or about it. And I think it's important to declutter. I really do think that when you declutter your brain and you declutter your home and you organize, that you can think more positive thoughts and look forward to new energies in the future and even declutter your life of negative people.
That's always a very interesting part of life, because some people who are what you or I may call negative may not even realize they are. And at the same time, there's, see, I go through a pro and con with that because I hear so many people saying, don't talk to this person, they're too negative, or don't hang around with this person, or don't, you know, and what I'm finding is it's very isolating. And so what happens to that person who's really negative is no one ever tells that person. They just stop talking to them. I have a friend who has a very difficult time keeping a relationship and always asks why. And I said, well, when you really want to hear my opinion, I will tell you. Other than that, I'm, you know, happy to listen to what you have to say. Some people don't want to know, or they do, but they don't. They really cut you off or change the subject. And it's not my job to tell somebody else unless they want to know. I do think that maybe it's not cutting them out of your life, but limiting the time. Because we've all been in sad places and difficult times. And then to lose someone, it's really difficult. And I'm just finding that if we give people the space, maybe through the space, they can learn, they'll learn or change. And maybe it's giving them a little homework. Like, you know, wow, it sounds like you're really having a challenge with your husband or wife. Maybe you could set up a time to sit down with them and have a conversation and actually say how you're feeling and support them to get there. And that might help, it might not. But of course, if they're completely draining you, that's not a good experience, then definitely limit or, you know, a departure from one's life might be a good idea then. It's a balance, though, because it's like you want to be there, you want to give support, and you know people are going through a hard time. I mean, I know people who are actually struggling and not putting their heater on in the winter in Europe where it's snowing because they can't afford the heating bill. There's not, and it's not just there, it's not poor people, middle class people. And it's very, very serious.
Well, it's very, very serious too, because of the skyrocketing cost for electricity to turn on your forced air is super expensive now. There's such a high increase in electricity here. And I think even here in America, we forget people are not turning on their heat, especially the elderly, because they're afraid of the cost. And they're skyrocketing. And so we really have to just really think about, you know, not just, you know, I mean, we do have to think about other countries, of course, and pray for them and do what we can for them. So many people
right.
in our own country are sleeping in cardboard boxes out in the streets now because of everything that happened over the past few years and shouldn't have happened, but did happen. And it's a reality. And so I had a friend and a guest, a special guest, who wrote a book about Christmas on last week. And he's a media person, and he was saying that he goes through his closet and he says, I don't need all these flax, I don't need all these shirts. So he says he keeps just a certain amount of flax and shirts, and he packs them up and he takes them to the missions and to donate to the missions and for people who need the clothes. And I mean, it's just simple little things like that that, you know, are so helpful to somebody else. Like I had a pillow and a couple of pillows. They were in good condition, but I didn't need them. So I packed them up in a plastic bag and someone said, oh, do they accept pillows? And I go, well, of course they sterilize them. Of course, they're brand new, but they probably will sterilize them anyway. And I said, they sterilize everything, you know, and I said before they sell it because of health regulations and stuff. But imagine a pillow to somebody who has a cardboard house or a mattress.
It's huge. Right. It's huge. It's like giving is contagious. For example, I don't know if you know this, but I found this out the first time I gave blood, if you give blood, you actually clean your own blood at the same time. Because what happens is your body has to remake the blood that it was just taken out, and you wind up maybe saving a life, definitely helping a life, and you may be doing something for yourself as well. And you don't do it for that reason, but what a great benefit. And I think that that's just a good analogy. It's like, yeah, a pillow is amazing. You never know. It's like someone said, if you took 50% of what you have and you gave it away, what would you really miss? It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thought, because we probably wouldn't miss any of it.
Right. You know, and
right.
It's like when people, you see on the news that they lose their house, and the people who are now living on the streets, there's so many people living on the streets, it's insane, before COVID, after COVID, during COVID, and the idea of also this electric bill is no one really knows what it's going to be until the bill comes in. And it will be a shock to everyone because no one has a clue what it's going to be. They say it's going to be more, but how much more? Three times? One time? You know, we just don't really know. And which I think is unfair. We should at least have the knowledge so we can, you know, manage our finances and plan for it. It's a very interesting time, and therefore people go back to the holidays and they're feeling, you know, very, very sad. And I think that what's important is to remember not to be alone. And there's a lot of places that are offering food, that are offering meal prep, so many different things right now. It's just really looking online, asking around, maybe go to a library and find a librarian who can help with that. There's so many different things. And there's so many different gifts that people can give people. And one of the things that I think a lot about is reaching out to people, let's say your neighbors, who are alone and who have no one. And just asking if they'd like to join you for a dinner. So many people I found out on Thanksgiving were alone, and they didn't want to tell their friends because they didn't want to come across as being alone. I, on the other hand, would say, hey, I'm alone. you know, you have room for one more or something like that. But my personalities may be different than someone else's. Someone else may feel embarrassed with that, and so therefore it wouldn't work. However, if we all reach out a little bit more, you will be so surprised how many people would love to be with you. And I love what your friend did and giving clothing, because I think that's so important. I'm seeing people who are wearing two or three different shirts, sweaters, coats, you know, and wherever you are in the world, it is outrageous. In the U.S., there's so many different challenges. In Europe, there's other challenges. But what we're all facing at this point is the financial, is the electric and gas prices going up, as well as how do we maintain a positive attitude? Because if we don't maintain that, we don't have anything, because then everything looks sad. We need to be optimistic, like looking at the bright side. Okay, when we wake up, say, I'm grateful for being alive. I am grateful for having health. I'm grateful, and if there's health problems, I'm grateful for having only this problem. There's so many things to just stay focused on that, because if we don't stay focused on that, God will notice what we're paying attention to. And I heard this a long time ago. whatever we pay most attention to is what God thinks we want. And gives us more of that. So let's pay attention to good things. So we're focused on how to do better and how to get through this time. And I have a stress anxiety management recording on iTunes. So if you put my name in, Joyce Alexander Black, onto iTunes, you can hear it. And it's inexpensive. I think it's like $10. And it just has helped so many people. Because when you're going through anxiety and stress, the heartbeat goes faster, the voice goes faster, everything, there's so much anxiety. And what my recording does is it helps people slow down. It's like it's a guided imagery, helps you just relax. And it's also really good when you're feeling anxious with somebody to just notice yourself. You can calm yourself with your breath. Just say, hey, you know what? This is a stressful time. I'm feeling stressed. And just taking a deep breath. And then long exhale, like double the time that you inhale. And a technique that you can take and do at any time. Well, what
exactly.
Do you think about the yeah.
Oh,
it's really important to have...
As a licensed... Yeah, I was a licensed esthetician, and I was into aromatherapy and reflexology. I was certified and all that. And that's one of the things that you're talking about is taking a deep breath and relaxing not just the body but the mind. And I can tell you that when some people sat up, actually, Joyce, tears were coming from their eyes because they didn't know they were carrying around that much stress in their mind and their body. And they were like in a different dimension, and they were, I'm telling you, tears would come down their eyes because we don't realize we get conditioned to carrying around this stress, and we have to take care of this and take care of that and do this and do that and da-da-da. And we don't take care of ourselves. And if you don't take care of yourself, then you're not going to be able to take care of your family and other people. And because now your mind's boggled and it's cluttered and you feel the stress. It is so important to just walk outside like I do every morning. I open up the door, sky, the trees, the birds, butterflies, and just thank God and take those deep breaths of fresh air and release the carbon monoxide back into the universe. And because we need both, or God wouldn't have given it to us both, and he wouldn't have given us a nose and a mouth and lungs. So all of it works together to declutter the mind and the body and to relax us. So I agree with you 100% that first we must be grateful and have gratitude and praise and thank God for what we have. I go to bed every night and I thank God for my pillows and my blankets and my mattress, knowing there are people out there sleeping on the ground. And
yeah.
I mean, it is a blessing to have a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on the table, and a bed to sleep in, and have some friends and family, and just reach out to people. Like you said, you don't have to have a lot of money to reach out to people. There's so many different gifts and talents people have that they can use to help make somebody's life a little better, even if it's a kind word, a smile, a hug, whatever it is. You know, instead of saying something mean, why not just say something kind and uplifting, right?
Exactly. And if someone says something that's mean, because, I mean, I'll never forget a friend of mine who was like a top attorney and in the studios, and he said to me, I'm going back home to see my family for Christmas. And I said, yeah. He's like, I got to get some Xanax. If I don't have Xanax, I'll never make it through. And I was laughing, and I'm thinking, you're joking, right? No, I'm serious. And I said, wait a second, you're really serious? And so many people, we all have seen it trigger one another. families on holidays can be also quite challenging. So here's a little tool. There will be somebody who says something you don't like. That's just how the world works, unfortunately. But maybe it's fortunate, because maybe that's God's way of teaching us how to be a little tougher. You know, one just doesn't know. But when someone says something that you are offended by or triggered, it may be them, it may not be them. But a good thing to do is, and what you're saying about aromatherapy, oh, I love that. And when you could carry some like aromatherapy oils with you and use them to smell, you know, and just go to say to yourself, okay, I'm realizing I'm getting very angry. I'm going to respond in a way that just creates an argument or makes an uncomfortable meal or situation or family gathering. So just take some aromatherapy oil. You can take a little walk and some really nice music. I'll tell you, this guy I know in Sedona, Arizona, his name is Robin Miller. He has amazing, really great music, and it always helps me relax. Whatever works, you know, orchestra, music, you know, Mozart, whatever, something calming, anything that is helpful to you. And then respond only when you're not reactive. When you're in a reactive place, you will say something that you'll regret probably, and it will cause an argument. Never have I ever seen somebody who's triggered responding in a good way, because they're responding from that child place. So when you can stop being reactive and start being in the moment and just say to yourself, okay, I'm reactive, I'm triggered, I'm taking a walk or going to the bathroom or whatever it is, taking 5 minutes to just chill. And then you can even say to the person, you know, can I talk to you privately for a second? I just felt really, and just say how you feel. I felt hurt by what you said. I'm wondering if I said something that, you know, you need to talk to me about, or can we talk about this tomorrow or another day? Somehow, honor yourself. Don't allow anyone else to trigger you. Stay in your peace. And just calm yourself, because when this friend of mine told me about needing medication to be with his family, I really thought it was a joke, and that was many, many years ago. Since then, I've found so many people in the same situation, and as a professional, hearing so many stories, and it's one of the highest times of suicide, because families are not always so kind. They're not always so positive. And they're sometimes not so easy to be around. And, you know, it's like learning to know your triggers, how to deal with them. And if you're not in that place right now and you haven't done that work, it's not going to happen overnight. Then just use this little trick. Know when you're triggered. No, say nothing. Nothing good will come out of your mouth, I promise. And take a walk, go to the bathroom, give yourself at least 5 minutes to yourself, and just keep on doing some deep breaths. Breathe in for 2 minutes, out for five. Just keep on doing, double the exhale until you calm your nervous system down. And then you can choose to say nothing and call the person the next day. Or however you choose to handle it, but you handle it from a place of strength, a place of self-love. And it's going to be what it is. You will always find somebody to say something that you didn't expect. You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely know what you're saying. And I always just try to be quiet and just listen and know that that's coming from a dark place, and try to say a little prayer for them, because I know they're a good person, and for whatever reason they're saying whatever they're saying, it's coming from a dark place, like jealousy, or it could be any sort of those emotions that are not positive, and for whatever reason, whether it's envy or they're just unhappy
and you're happy. Sometimes people are not happy because you're happy, believe it or not. That sounds crazy.
I know, right? And I love what you said about saying not everyone's also happy. Some people who are sad, people who are happy or they're doing well financially could throw it in their face. There's so many different variables out there. I love the idea of sending a prayer. And sending a prayer also for yourself not to be reactive. And that is one of the hardest things in life that we're given, is to learn not to react when we feel hurt.
Because
or somebody's saying
something. When some people are saying mean things to you, it's because they want you to react. They're waiting for a reaction, and it's the, you know, to, you know, cause this friction, and that's the worst thing you can do, is react to them at that time, because if you don't react, then you didn't say anything mean to them that you'll have to be sorry for the next day or the next minute, whatever it is, or cause more problems. So that's my reaction to people, is I try to control myself and just look at them and remember that they're very unhappy, and I need to say a prayer for them because there's some darkness there that's coming through and has their mind at that moment, and they're not really that person, and they're actually a good person, but for some reason they're hurting. Or, and because people who are hurting are the ones who are jealous or envious or unhappy, and unhappy that you're happy. I mean, it all sounds kind of crazy,
right?
But these are emotions that happen in people, and we don't even know why they're attacking, you know, with their words, or why they said what they said. So why not just think about, wow, something's hurting them. They're in pain.
Right. I think that if a person could do that, that is fantastic. However, so many people do wind up walking away and then feeling like they were just bullied or attacked. And I think that shutting down a person's voice isn't good. I think that if you cannot say anything, and knowing that I can believe they're just coming from a dark place right now, then that's a wonderful thing to do. If by not saying anything, you actually shut your own voice down and feel like I'm going to walk away and resent myself for not saying something, then it's important to say something. Even if you don't know what else to say, you could just say, ouch. And it's like, what?
Well,
I love that word, ouch.
Yeah, I think it's important to actually analyze the situation. If I say something, it's a bad reaction. If I don't say anything, and just maybe you say, I'm sorry, I didn't know I did something wrong, maybe that'll help. But sometimes I think you do have to just walk away and just say, and let them cool off and say, I'll talk to you later, you know, or when you're, you know, calm down. I think being calm is the important thing, remaining calm and not reacting in a bad way, because that's what most people want to do.
Then you give
attack.
Yeah, and you give your power when you get reactive and get triggered. And when you can stay in your own power, then you can allow somebody else to be in theirs, and non-reactively, you could just send them a prayer. Again, if it's something you're going to walk away and then feel like, oh, I should have just said something, like, you know, my feelings got hurt with that, maybe we can talk about that. Or maybe just say, like, in your head to say, I feel hurt about this, I will call this person tomorrow. Maybe in that moment it's not important. But sometimes what happens is people keep on, sometimes if you let them go with a little bit, then they think that you'll never say anything and they can say whatever they want. So it is important, like you said, to check the situation, make sure the situation is fine and the situation is a good thing. Then we, you know, have a wonderful way to communicate with people. And one of the things that I find has been quite difficult for people is to get in touch with their own feelings. So, for example, when a person is feeling stressed, stress is not really a feeling. I mean, it is, but it kind of encompasses a lot. What I like people to do is to get specific. When you feel that, even for no one else, just for yourself, say to yourself, I feel, and really think about it. Do I feel hurt? Do I feel happy? Do I feel sad? If I'm feeling sad, why am I feeling sad? When did I feel like this before? When was the first time? What happens is so many times people are in relationships and they don't communicate with their spouse. They have all this resentment. They never get to the core issues. And they keep on having the same disagreement or argument because they never really talk it through. They never talk about what really bothers them. And when they do, and they actually communicate, they have much healthier relationships. But it starts with a person really knowing their own feelings. Knowing, how am I feeling right now?
People don't really know how they're feeling because they don't ask themselves that question, how am I feeling? You know, we're always concerned about everybody else and how they're feeling. But I think you brought up a good point. How am I feeling, you know, about this situation? I think that's really important to ask yourself because I don't think most of us do that.
It's really huge. It's like taking the child within you and saying, I'm going to give you once a week, maybe it's the ice cream you like, maybe it's going shopping, maybe it's taking a walk in the park, going to the beach. Do something for that little girl or boy inside you. Also, remember, when a person is triggered by their spouse, mostly it's not their spouse. Mostly it's one of their parents or siblings, someone close to them when they're young, that treated them poorly. So then the person that you're married to or with then triggers you in the same way. And you just keep on being triggered rather than saying, hey, wait a second. Why do I feel this way? Where did it come from? How do I fix me so I can be the best partner in my relationship? And I think people spend too much time thinking, how does this other person become the person I want? Not, how do I become the best person I can? How do I deal with my triggers? That's a really good place to start.
That's really important. I had that experience once, and we were going to marriage counseling at the time. And I never, ever figured out why I was reacting a certain way. And the psychologist actually brought it out, and it went all the way back to my childhood that I never, ever addressed it. And so I was still reacting the same way throughout my life. And it wasn't until that light bulb, he pointed out that switch and turned on the light bulb, that I was able to deal with it after that.
That's beautiful. And thank you so mm-hmm. much for sharing that and being so open, because that is the truth. That is the truth. That is what happens to all of us. If we keep on, it's like you see something that happened like in a movie with someone who's a child, let's say, I don't know, something insignificant, like a ball falling on their toe. But they look up and their friends are laughing. And what happens throughout life to this person related to sports, related to playing ball? How does that affect them? How does their social interaction? Maybe they feel that they're going to be laughed at. And until the adults can go back and say, oh, wait a second, this is what happened, and this is why I'm reacting this way. It's as if you're we're made to live as reactive until we become conscious. And most people don't even know that that's the mathematical equation. It's like, here's a problem you had in your childhood, and so many people have abandonment issues and other issues. Well, where you can say, yes, my spouse does this, and my parents did this, or my parent or my sibling. And when you deal with what happened in your childhood, you don't need anyone to do different. It would help if they would be sensitive and kind and not do it. And ultimately, it's your life. And you get to choose, well, am I going to be with somebody who keeps on re-injuring me in the same way? Or can I not be reactive? The whole idea is, if we can know what our triggers are, and we can learn how we react. Like, I know for me, when I get upset, I feel it first in my heart. And then sometimes my palms get sweaty. I pay a lot of attention to my body. And if my body starts doing certain things, and I start noticing a sequence, and I've been studying someone named Peter Levine, and he does somatic therapy. And that's what he's taught lots of therapists, and I've taken some courses with him. And it's quite interesting. Because if you know how your body reacts to a trigger, then what happens is you will start noticing, hey, I don't know why my heartbeat's going fast, my palms are going sweaty, but I know that that's how I feel triggered. So somehow I'm being triggered, and I know I need to get out of this situation because I will say something that's not going to be, you know, a positive or make me happy, and I'll probably hurt someone. But when you know what your body will do, it's like you're 75% there. Does that make sense to you?
It definitely makes sense, and I do think we have to tune into ourselves. And I think everything you told us today and provided this information to our audience is going to help people get through the holidays, because now they have some tools to work with. And because sometimes family situations are difficult for a lot of people, and for many, many, many reasons we won't go into, but and others are very happy. Like after our Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners, we either play cards or we play charades, and everybody's laughing and having fun. And so we don't really stop and, you know, we don't really stop and think about any of those things because everybody's busy helping cooking, helping set the table, and then, of course, praying, and then having dinner, and then playing something that's fun and makes everybody laugh, and then everybody's hugging and kissing and walking out the door until next year, next holiday, wedding or whatever.
Lovely is that. I bet everyone wants to go to your house.
Yes, our house. That would be great.
I think you have a next that, you know, how to create Christmas or holiday dinner where everybody has, like, rules of being kind. Like, that's the only rule. Anything you say has to be kind. Wouldn't that be amazing if, like, one day everyone was kind?
Yeah, I mean, we don't talk about anything other than just the dinner and what are we putting in that and what did you bring and, you know, who's going to set the table, and did you get, you know, we don't talk about anything personal. That's out. And we do give thanks around the table for what we're grateful for. And before we have our meal, and then everybody's gobbling everything down, and then we're packing, cleaning up, packing up the leftovers to give to everybody. And then we play charades, which is really fun, or some other game, you know, that we'll play. But
ooh,
it's always a fun game where people are laughing and making fun of themselves and each other, and it's just fun. And then
mm-hmm.
everybody's hugging and saying, you know, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, whatever. And I think that's, you know, it's just, it makes it so much better if you don't try to think about the past or what somebody did or what somebody said or, you know, because that's not what Christmas is about.
You know what you just said? You may think that's simple, but most people don't know that. Most people, I mean, it sounds like you just said something so simple, but it's actually huge. Most people think, and I'm not sure why they think this way, if I talk about something personal, then guess what? I talk about something personal, I'll clear this up with this person, and then we'll have a great evening. Oh, no, no, no. You may not. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Better not put yourself in a situation where something can come up and you would feel bad. Better put yourself in a situation like what you're saying. Just don't talk about anything else. Like, I mean, on a totally different subject but similar, I had a maid once who had a lot of emotional problems. I did not know this, and it was very difficult, and I started giving her advice, and then all of a sudden she wasn't cleaning my house anymore, and I needed to fire her because it changed the relationship, and I had to learn how to not even go there, because sometimes you have to pick that there's certain people being kind to may not be kind. Helping them, you're not in that relationship to help them. And it's very interesting how many people think, well, I'm going to see Aunt so-and-so or cousin so-and-so, and we're going to clear this up for after 10 years, we're going to clean it. Well, guess what? That's not the night to do it. Just do exactly what you're saying. Nobody talk about anything, no politics, no religion, nothing that could cause any. I love what you said.
Yes, and it's so important.
Honestly,
it makes,
really love it. I don't think most people know that.
Enjoyable. We have a Christmas movie going on, whether it's Scrooge, Christmas Carol, whatever it is, 34th Street, whatever. They're constantly going on TV so the kids can watch them, and we just don't even go any of those places. We talk about the food and how did you make that, like you're talking about the recipes, and did you bring your famous whatever? And they like my apple pie and my pumpkin pie, so I always have to bring that. And then, you know, we're all taking pictures and, you know, and doing silly things, you know, with the cell phones, with the funny noses and ears and all that stuff. So everybody's laughing, basically. And
you know, I love that, saying what you're grateful for. So what you're doing is you're injecting positivity. And if someone says something negative or something confrontational, you can say, oh, that's really interesting. Can we talk about this after today, like tomorrow sometime? Let's just make today only in the best, most positive way. If everyone just did that at their meals, they wouldn't need medication to get through a family dinner. They wouldn't need all these other things. But unfortunately, not everyone is going to follow that. But at least starting with this.
Because life is so short. You only have so many holidays, and it's not about us. It's about the season, and it's about giving and love and peace in the world and your prayerful family, praying for peace in the world and in the family, and forgiveness. I mean, you know, without forgiveness, we can't move on. So that's a day to say, you know what, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just going to forgive that person, and we can talk about it a different time, you know. And we're just going to have fun today. And especially if you have kids around, young people, you know, and they don't want to hear that stuff, you know, and they want to celebrate the tradition. They want to celebrate with the family. They're excited. And it should be unselfish. And that, to me, is being unselfish and just putting everything else aside and letting everybody just have a fun time together, and especially the kids. And so, and unfortunately, we've run out of time. But Joyce, I want to give you this space now to tell our audience anything you like and about how to get in touch with you, because your information is very invaluable to these holidays right now.
Well, thank you. And I think what you just talked about, your Christmas dinner needs to get out there. Like, how do you have a Christmas dinner with family and get along? I love what you said. So please, please share that, because people really desperately need to hear that right now. And thank you so much for that. And I always love chatting with you. I always, it's so inspirational and so lovely, and you're just wonderful. So to get a hold of me, my website is joycealexanderblack.com. Any of my, I have 7 records, recordings, they used to be called CDs, at iTunes. Just put my name in, Joyce Alexander Black. I think it's under Joyce Alexander Black, M-A. And I wish you all an amazing holiday. I wish you all complete happiness and gratitude and wonderful things, and may this next year bring in so much more happiness, love, health, and joy to ourselves, to our families, and to our world. And thank you so much for having me on your show, Rose. I always love it.
Thank you so much for being with us, Joyce Alexander Black, M-A. And I hope you and your family have a blessed and a happy and joyous Christmas and prosperous and healthy New Year as well in 2023. And we'll talk to you again in 2023.
I love it. Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you and your family. Enjoy.
Thank you so much. God bless. Bye-bye. Yeah. And Joyce Alexander Black has left the building, and she's on her way to have a very Merry Christmas and holiday season with her family. And, of course, we all hope and pray for peace in the world in 2023 and for health and prosperity and for everyone that is homeless, that they will have a hot meal and a place to shower and sleep on a mattress. And hopefully have a better year in 2023, because not everyone who's homeless today or ever is a criminal or has a substance problem. We have a problem with what happened over the past few years since 2019, a serious problem that we are still trying to recover from, financially, job-wise, and as a United States of America, of fellow Americans treating each other as fellow Americans, and stop all the bashing and stop all the mean things that are going out into the universe on the negativity. We are the United States of America, the only one nation under God, and we are a free nation. We are a sovereign nation, and we need to restore our borders, secure our borders, and we need to demand that our members of Congress, God bless all of them, I don't care what party they're in, and all our public servants will wake up to the fact that whatever they decide to do is going to affect the future of the United States of America, the United States Constitution, all of our traditions, our freedom, liberty, rights, our right to free choice, free will, and to save humanity and save the babies and save the children. Because guess what? Without saving humanity, without saving the babies, without saving the children, there is no future for humanity. And it is a war on God, a war on babies, a war on children, and a war on humanity. So let's save humanity. Let's save the children. Let's save the babies, because God didn't give you a seed when you bonded with the husband and the wife to destroy. You would not destroy a seed if you were planting an olive tree or you were planting a bed of roses. You would not destroy your garden. You would not destroy your vegetable garden. You would not destroy the seeds of the fruit of the earth. Let's not destroy more babies and more children. And let's all come together as the United States of America, as one family under this umbrella. And this is our homeland, and this is where we must live together in peace and and harmony. So God bless you, and God bless the United States of America and our military, first responders, our law enforcers, and our veterans, and everyone in the good old USA.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Columbo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Columbo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.